So my name is Dan Wickert. So just an introduction, I know this is my home church. So I'm a member here since 1986. So I'm one of the elder statesmen at this point, part of the counseling center staff. I counsel on Monday afternoon and early evening. I'm a physician. I'm a OBGYN by training. And I practiced, and the words I use are very careful. We physicians always practice. We never get it right. We always have to keep practicing. I practiced for 30 years, and then almost 8 years ago, in April, I transitioned out of clinical practice into an administrative role at, there's two hospital systems in our town. One's IU Health and one's a Franciscan Catholic system, and I serve as the Chief Medical Officer, Vice President of Medical Affairs, so Senior Vice President at the hospital for Lafayette, Crawfordsville, and Rensselaer, and the three hospitals there. I can tell you that nothing and everything prepared me for having to be one of the leads and the medical leader for going through a pandemic. You don't get taught that in school. You don't get taught that in residency. You don't get taught that at all. So nothing and everything. So all of life before that prepared me for being able to accomplish that. I've been part of our counseling center staff for probably over 20 years now, and been able to have the opportunity to teach, and we are so excited about having all of you here this week to be a part of this. I also get the opportunity to teach one of our adult Sunday school classes, and this is actually a room that we use this morning and every Sunday morning to teach our class. And we have the opportunity to, our class has the opportunity to be where all of the track one or the individuals come into Vision of Hope. So we have probably 12 to 15 young girls that are part of our class, all the way from young teenagers all the way to retired people. So it's a very interesting class, to say the least. Let me pray, and then we will get started. Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity that we have this week to be together as fellow believers, to learn about you. And we really pray that the hero of the conference will be you, that you will be the one that we point to, that we point ourselves to, and that we point those around us to. We want to learn to love you more. We want to learn how to help people who are struggling, and realistically, if we're honest ourselves, as we work through many of these challenges. And help us have open minds and attitudes. Help us to work hard this week at developing friendships with the people that are around us, and many of them will be maybe friendships that last for many, many years. So we thank you, and just look forward to this week. As it says in Ephesians, I pray that the eyes of our heart will be opened this week, that we'll see you more clearly. Thank you. In your name, amen. We're going to do a case presentation. The topic is how sexual history impacts a marriage. And what I want to do is I'm going to start by get you back in the counseling mode as we walk through some of this. So I have a case history. And by the way, I want to start by giving you a presentation. This is Tom and Mary. This is a real couple. This is not their name, but this is a real couple that I counseled. Tom is 27, Mary is 25, and they have no children. They've been married for 5 years. Their main problem is Mary develops anxiety attacks with attempts at intimacy. She feels hopeless. She's tried everything. They've both been saved 6 months before they were married. And their marital relationship they described as loving with good communication. So this is Tom and Mary. So I'd like for you to work together with 2, 3, 4, 5, I really don't care how many. If you like, if you're just one of those, like do it alone, please, you can do it alone, but I encourage you to do it together. I think that helps us start getting back in the mode of what's the first thing we need to do when presented with this data from a couple who comes in to us and says, this is my problem. This is why I'm here. So what I want you to do is like, what other information do you want to data gather with them? So in other words, what questions do you want to know? What information do you want to know? I'm not talking about right now. I'm not talking about counseling them, helping them. I'm asking, what other additional data do you want to gather? I'm going to give you about 7-8 minutes to do that in a group, then we're going to come back together. You're going to give me your answers. Okay. So I want you to work together. I think there's power in that, in developing this relationship. Y'all, if I can say it that way, are going to be together for a week. So let's start that process of working together and just being friends and developing friendships. All right, so go start to work. About 7 minutes. All right, let's come back together. So what kind of things did you talk about? What other things would you like to know given this information? By the way, this is how it's presented, right? I mean, they fill out a form, right? And this is, by the way, we oftentimes make up, kind of put stories together from a couple different people. This is not made up, this is real. And you'll see that as we move through this in a couple different ways. So what do you want to know? What would you guys talk about? Do you want to know? What else? Data gathering. What other data do you want to gather? Okay, so what was intimacy in other relationships and before they got married? Okay, good. What else?
Family background.
What do you mean, family background? What are you looking for? Parents. What was parents like on both sides, right? For both husband and wife, right? What was that parental relationship when they were growing up, and what was that like, right? Can that have an impact on this?
Yeah.
And part of what I want you to see is that, by the way, when you heard the title of this session, what did you think? And you heard an OBGYN was going to do the session. What did you think?
Yay.
You thought we were going to talk about sex, didn't you? We're really not going to talk about sex. We're going to talk about how that develops and opens avenues for us to minister God's word in so many other avenues. That's what I want you to see. Okay, good. So, what else? Okay, good. Let me just ask a question real quick. How do you ask someone, by the way, on our PDI, the inventory that they fill out, there is a question, are you saved, yes or no? Do you take that answer as pat, an answer? What do you ask them? How do you find that information out that gets beyond the Christian answer? Okay, good. Good. I want to hear your story. Good. How else do you do it?
When did your life change?
Good. How else? This is important, right? Do we need to establish at least a framework whether they're believers or not? Now, do they have to have the same language that you and I use to be a believer? Here's the good part. Guess who gets to decide that? God does, not you and me. However, we'd like to at least understand whatever language they're using and what it means, right? How else do you ask the question? Describe your relationship with the Lord. Good. Spiritual disciplines look like. So you're talking about afterwards. Yeah. I often, on purpose, ask the question of if this is not theologically correct. I get it. But if you were to die tonight and stand before God, and he would say, why should I let you into my kingdom? Why should I let you into heaven? Why? How would you answer? And I have a couple who, they've been with me, I think, two, three weeks. And his answer was, I'm a work in progress, and I'm trying to figure that out. He's not a believer. Absolutely not a believer. And so that's the component of asking. So just a way to ask the question in a different way, because if you ask the question, are you saved, the answer is going to be, so you got to ask it in a different way. Good. What else do you want to know? What else came out of your groups? Good. So what they look like, and not only what the outward manifestation is, but what's going on inside, right? What's she thinking, right? What's she wanting, right? Good. What else? Anybody else? Has there been any sexual abuse in the past? Why would you ask that question? Because it could be, of course. I get that. Okay, so maybe the anxiety is related to that. Okay, good, good. If I were to ask all of you the definition for intimacy, would you have that? The answer is probably. But the question never is about what I think the definition of intimacy is. I want to know what they think it is, right? I'll tell you, and I will get to that in a second. Okay, well, let me give you some more information, and then we're going to do something again. So what she says is sex is good, but not intimacy. She becomes overwhelmed and shuts down. Her parents were divorced at age 4, and she was always neglected. At age